Hey everyone, welcome back to Who's There? I'm your host, Allison. If you're new here, thank you for joining us. This is a podcast where I talk to a new horror fan every week because I hope to destigmatize what it means to be a horror movie fan. Because most of us are just regular people who like the adrenaline rush of being scared for some reason, and here we delve into those reasons. This week, I'm still a little stuffed up, as you can maybe hear, but I have a really great conversation with New York City-based horror writer Chloe Gold for you all this week. Chloe and I met on Twitter initially, but we actually got to meet in person earlier this month at a early screening of The Nun 2, which was super fun. Meeting her was super fun, not the movie. In this episode, we talk about how she got into writing about horror, what movie she loved but hasn't been able to rewatch since she first saw it, and a couple of the haunted apartments that she lived in. I love these stories so much. One last thing before we get into this episode. If you love the show and haven't left us a review on iTunes yet, I'd be so grateful if you could take a second to rate and review it on Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen to the show. Thank you to everyone who's already left us a review. It's so appreciated as it really helps people to find us. I think that's it. So let's get into this episode with Chloe Gold. Hey, Chloe, how are you?
Doing so well. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you so much for being here. Do you want to start by telling everyone a little bit about yourself?
Sure. My name is Chloe Gold, and I am a horror writer. So I write about horror for websites like Nightmarish Conjurings and Dread Central, and I also write horror fiction.
Oh, awesome. Well, I want to hear more about that in a little bit, but first things first, what's your favorite scary movie?
Oh man, I usually give people a top five, but I guess for this, I'll narrow it down to one. And I think that would have to be A Nightmare on Elm Street from 1984.
Oh, nice. Why that one?
Kind of for a lot of reasons. It was one of the first modern horror movies that I watched when I was a kid. And it was one of my intro to the genre films, formally, I guess, because I've always been into horror. But A Nightmare on Elm Street to me is just the perfect combination of gore and psychological horror and also comedy.
That's awesome. Yeah. During the early days of the pandemic, I watched a lot of the old 70s and 80s horror movies that I hadn't seen for some reason. And I think Nightmare on Elm Street was the only one that I actually enjoyed. Like Friday the 13th, Halloween, I was like, these aren't scary. And I didn't necessarily find Nightmare on Elm Street scary, but it was just a little bit better production.
Yeah, I've actually seen all of the Nightmare on Elm Street movies. Some are definitely better than others, and I don't want to talk about the remake.
It was boring. It was so boring.
It was just, I didn't enjoy it, and I saw the remake first when I was in high school, I guess, when it came out, and then almost 10 years later, like as an adult, I was rewatching all of the movies and decided, you know what, maybe I was too harsh on this movie the first time, and so I rewatched it. And I don't think that I was harsh enough.
I wonder if anyone could remake it better nowadays. I don't know. Maybe there's a director who could do it justice.
No, I don't think so.
Okay. So how did you first fall in love with the horror genre?
You know, I actually don't know. Everyone always asks me this, but I've been into dark, spooky shit for literally my entire life. Like I genuinely don't remember a time when I wasn't into blood and guts and ghosts and all that. So I don't know, maybe it's just something in my DNA that just kind of pushed me over.
Oh, nice. Does anyone in your family also enjoy this sort of stuff?
My mom likes it. I think she's more into it when I started to get really into it. And she likes the things that I write, which is really nice.
That's nice. My parents, they don't enjoy horror at all. Though they do like movies like Independence Day and Jurassic Park. Mm-hmm. They don't see those as horror. So why do you think that people who seem perfectly sane love the horror genre?
I think we're good at hiding. No, I'm just kidding. Yeah, I don't really have an answer to that. I think that with anything else, your mileage may vary. And so I've certainly met a lot of seemingly normal people who are just extremely into like slashers and also the splatterpunk genre of horror literature. And they just, you know, wouldn't come off that way if we're going off of stereotypes. But then I've also met people who absolutely fit the horror stereotype. And in my opinion, both people, like both camps of people and everything in between are wonderful. So,
yes, definitely agree. So what scares you in horror movies today and in real life?
Hmm. What scares me in horror movies? I think that the horror that has rattled me the most has been of the human variety. So films like The Wicker Man and Midsommar and even Texas Chainsaw Massacre, and all of these are really horrifying movies. There's no supernatural element to it, or no real supernatural element. And I think that a lot of people have talked about this and written about this. Humans are the most frightening monsters, you
Yeah,
know?
no, I definitely agree. And people have said that before when I've interviewed them. They're like, yeah, humans scare me. So,
I can deal with a ghost.
yeah.
A crazy person, maybe not.
Yeah, though you can get rid of a crazy person, you can't really as easily get rid of a ghost. So,
One would think.
are you a believer or are you a skeptic in terms of like supernatural?
I'm a believer.
Yeah. Have you ever lived anywhere that you think has been haunted?
Not, well, yes and no. So I've definitely had supernatural experiences. I grew up doing community theater, and I was in a production of the musical Number the Stars, which is based on that children's or middle grade book, Number the Stars. Anyway, and so we were performing at a theater in New Jersey called the Scottish Rite Auditorium, and the Scottish Rite Auditorium is notoriously haunted. And so we did the play there a few times over the years. And during the intro in our first year, the caretaker was going, just taking us around the theater, showing us the lay of it, and said, "By the way, this place, there have been reportings of hauntings. Their ghost is not harmful, but if you see anything, if you feel anything, it's fine. You're fine." I was younger when this happened. I think I was very young, middle school or elementary school, and I thought that he was hazing us. He was not. Yeah, a bunch of us did experience some things. Like our first year during a dress rehearsal, I was backstage alone, and it was pretty warm there, just very still air. The window was closed, and all of a sudden, I felt this just cold feeling just punch through me. So I don't know, maybe a ghost, maybe
Yeah,
just,
sounds like it. Oh, it's so creepy. You've seen the movie The Gallows?
No, I haven't.
It's not really well regarded or talked about a lot, but it's a movie. It's found footage, and it's about these kids that break into their high school to like destroy the school play set. They're doing the same play that many years back a kid, the noose malfunctioned, and he actually got hung in front of the audience. And they think the theater's haunted now. I think that's right. So they go in there and then they get locked in the school and then like weird things start happening. So I think it's pretty creepy because if I had been locked in my high school while doing a show in the middle of the night, I would have freaked out.
Yeah, I mean, if you've ever been on a stage, there's so many things, just like in the
Yeah.
auditorium and on the set, that can be used for haunted shenanigans. Like the lights are really heavy, and there are
Yeah.
a lot of ropes everywhere and a lot of curtains, so a lot can be played with.
Yeah. And since you also live in New York City, have you ever been to anywhere that is like supposedly haunted, like the merchant's house in the village or anything?
No, I haven't been to the merchant's house. I just moved into a new place, and I'm not sure if it's haunted, but I'm not ruling out anything. The building's pretty worn. Honestly, I think that most buildings in New York are haunted. Just like the city's so old, a death
Yeah.
had to occur, just every square foot of this island.
Yeah, definitely. My building is from, I think it was built in the 1920s or 1930s. So people have definitely died here.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
I did in college I did study abroad in Paris, and my little studio in Paris was absolutely haunted. Yeah, I was there for maybe 6 months, and I kept on hearing this like sort of rattling sound just every single night. It sounded like someone was putting a key into the keyhole and turning it and turning it and turning
Oh,
it.
God.
Yeah, it was horrifying, especially because like I was there alone. I'm in this strange city, and I'm just hearing it sounded like someone was trying to break into my apartment the first couple times. And so, I looked out into like the little people, nothing, of course. It's
Oh,
like,
my God.
QAM. I just kept hearing it and hearing it just like night after night. And finally, one of the friends that I made in the program came over and we did a little seance.
How did that go?
Yeah. So we made ourselves a little salt circle, lit some candles, lit a white candle and a black candle. And we were trying to talk to it and nothing was happening. And then I realized, oh, you know what? This ghost probably doesn't understand what we're saying because we're speaking in English. And so I started saying some things in French. And the flame on the white candle was just completely still, but the black candle was like going insane.
Oh my God.
Yeah, it was some experience.
What was the feeling in the apartment? Any different afterwards?
Sort of. During the seance, it was definitely very, very tense. There's also a storm outside when it was happening, which is like so perfect, but also just did not help the vibes.
Oh my God. Oh my God. I would have shit myself.
Oh yeah. Oh God. And then that night, both of us just kept on hearing like the key sounds over and over and over again. Just like, please stop. Here for like 4 more months, I'll be out of your hair.
Oh my God. I would have put glue in the keyhole. I would not have been able to deal with that.
Have you ever had sleep paralysis?
No.
It's not fun. I mean, like, so it sounds interesting in theory. So basically what it is, if I understand it correctly, it's like your body is completely paralyzed, like frozen, and your brain does release a chemical, I think, while you're sleeping just to keep your body still so that you don't act out your dreams. And so I think what happens is that the chemical is still going, and so you can't move, but you're sort of in between awake and asleep. And so you're aware that you can't move and it freaks you out because you cannot move. Mm. And if your eyes are open, you can hallucinate a little bit. Yeah, I've had a few instances of that. The last time, oh God, it was so creepy. It's in the last apartment that I was in, and I didn't realize that I was in sleep paralysis, which is most of the time you don't realize it.
Yeah.
It was so, so scary. There was like a man just like near my bed by the door, just kind of staring at me and saying, Chloe, Chloe. It was funny though, when I finally just wrenched myself just completely out of it, the man that I was seeing, it was my cat tree. Like, you know, one of those,
Oh yeah. That sounds terrifying. I once dated somebody that had, I don't know if it's sleep paralysis or night terrors, because I think there is some difference between them, but I would often have to just like shake him awake while he was screaming, which is awesome. Anyways, back to horror movies. What is your favorite subgenre of horror?
I love folk horror.
Nice.
Yeah.
What are your favorite folk horror movies?
The Wicker Man. It has to be my number one folk horror. I have such a fondness for Midsommar. Mm-hmm. And I know it's, you know, more modern and it is a bit problematic at some points, but it is just so good. It's so visually stunning. Florence Pugh just nails every single second that she's in it. And yeah, again, it's one of those movies that it seems that there might be something supernatural that could occur, but no, it's not. It's not. It's just a cult. It's just a malignant cult.
Yeah, and it's daytime horror. It all happens in the sunlight. Yeah, I watched Wicker Man after I had already seen Midsommar, so I was like, I've already seen this, but I know a lot of people love it, so yeah. I can't think of any other folk horror. What other folk horror movies are there out there?
I mean, The Witch.
Yeah, I've seen The Witch. I've watched it twice, one without subtitles and one with. I'm just not a big fan of that movie. I think it might be just like too slow for me, but I can appreciate it. Yeah, Anya Taylor-Joy is amazing.
Oh my gosh, she's incredible.
Yeah, and speaking of Florence Pugh, I went to go see Oppenheimer last night, and I didn't expect her to see her in it, but she's in it. So, yeah, I like the movie. It's way too long, but
I've heard that.
Very, very interesting. I was yawning a lot because we went to go see like a 9:15 showing, and it's 3 hours ish long.
Oh no!
But that was my fault. But yeah. I don't know. I would recommend it because it is interesting. So like you mentioned before, you're a horror writer and you also review films, books, TV shows, and immersive experiences within the genre. How did you get into doing reviews?
So after college, I was in that whole mass mass job application stage, and there was a call for an internship for a startup horror website called horrorfilmcentral.com. And I just thought, you know what, why not? Just send my application their way. And they hired me.
Nice.
I don't know how many applicants. Yeah. And so I started writing about horror more seriously than I had been. And so I was putting out 4 articles a day. So that's,
oh my God.
yeah, 8 articles a week, because I was in the office 2 days a week, 8 articles a week. And I was reviewing films, I was interviewing filmmakers, and I was writing like sort of listicles, like, you know, 10 women who creep me out, Happy Women's History Month. That's, I was also recapping American Horror Story and MTV Scream.
Oh, cool. I think I've watched like one episode of American Horror Story. I've just never, I don't know, I've never really given it a chance. Was Scream good, the series?
Yes. It's on Netflix. It's on Netflix now, and I started watching the first season. It's solid. It's a solid slasher. Yeah, it's tropey, but of course it is, because that's the genre, and they have fun with it.
Okay, cool. How did you get into writing horror literature?
Yeah, so I've always been a writer, and for some reason, I didn't give myself permission to actually write horror until my first year of grad school. I don't know. I don't really understand why that didn't click right away. I think it was just kind of this bizarre internalized sense, like, oh, horror is not a serious genre, even though that's complete nonsense. Like, horror is an incredibly serious genre, and it should be taken seriously. But yeah, I started writing more science fiction, and I got into the program with a science fiction story.
Oh, cool.
And so I thought, yeah, that's my path, science fiction. And then, I don't know, I think midway through my first year, I'm just like, you know what? Screw it. I love horror, and this is what I want to be doing. So let's go. Who cares?
Oh, that's awesome. What genre of horror literature do you gravitate towards most often?
I'm working on my first novel, and I don't want to give much away, but it's in the vampire genre. I love vampires.
Awesome.
I have a short story that just came out in the first issue of Ghoulish Tales, and it's body horror, semi-supernatural, but more body horror.
Okay, cool. Do you like body horror in horror movies?
Yes. Yes, absolutely.
So are you looking forward to Saw 10?
I haven't seen Saw 2 through 9, so maybe I have some catching up to do.
I'm not the biggest fan of body horror. I think I've been a little bit desensitized by this point, but Saw is really hard for me to watch. The Saw movies, the traps and everything. It's psychological and it's gross.
Mm-hmm. So. The first movie I thought was brilliant, and I wasn't expecting to like it so much, because I thought that it was just torture porn, but it really wasn't. Like, there's a lot more to it.
Yeah, I had no idea what I was getting into when I went to go see it. It's like the only movie that's ever given me nightmares, and I didn't rewatch it until right before Spiral came out in 2021. Not that Saw and Spiral are really that related at all. Who are some of your favorite horror writers?
I love Poppy Z. Bright. He doesn't write anymore, though, or he doesn't write horror anymore, but I've read 3 books that he wrote: Lost Souls, Exquisite Corpse, and Drawing Blood. And Poppy Z. Bright just has this writing style that's so evocative and so kind of lush. You know, he's very poetic. He's very poetic when he's talking about murdering someone with a claw hammer.
Nice. I bet that that's a very fine line to walk, to be poetic about that.
Oh, yeah. I also love Anya Allborn, though. She's one of my immediate buys.
Oh, nice. Mm-hmm. But speaking of books that were made into movies, not that we were, but now we are. Did you see Knock at the Cabin?
No.
No. I've heard that it's quite different from the book. So have you read any of Paul Tremblay's stuff?
I've only read Head Full of Ghosts.
I heard that's good. I haven't read any because I hear there's a lot of like animal torture.
I mean, I think that's a theme in a lot of horror, unfortunately.
Yeah. Horror literature scares the shit out of me because I can like make up the worst possible thing in my head.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's why it's so great. Our own imaginations is going to be so much more brutal than what they're allowed or, you know, can put on.
Yeah. Yeah, that's why they say that horror movies that don't show you everything are like the scariest, because you just have to imagine, and then you're like, well, it has to be the worst. What would you say are your top five favorite horror books?
Oh man, Brother by Anna Ellborn. If you like Texas Chainsaw Massacre, you would really like Brother. It's has similar vibes to it. Brother, just like looking at my shelf right now.
Yeah.
Let the Right One In. Yeah, have you read that?
I haven't, but I've seen the original movie and the American remake, and I also saw it on stage when they did the stage production at St. Anne's Warehouse several like a decade ago, so which is really interesting.
Yeah, so the Swedish adaptation of Let the Right One In is better than the American one, but doesn't hold a candle to the book. The book is just absolutely twisted and dark and really bleak, which is why I love it.
I love that. So this is kind of self-serving for me. What horror books would you recommend someone read if they don't like gore?
They do not like gore. My Best Friend's Exorcism by Grady Hendrix. It does have a little bit of body horror, but not an intense amount of gore. They made a film version of it on Amazon Prime earlier this year, I think.
It was last year,
Yeah,
so.
I reviewed it. I should know this.
I did read that last year because my friend gave me a copy. No, there was a lot of grossness in there.
Fair. Hey, you said gore. You didn't say grossness.
Well, I interpret gore as also being gross, as also grossness. I don't know. Yeah, I'm a big wimp for that. I look like supernatural and psychological horror more than like gore and blood and all that.
You might like Plain Bad Heroines.
Okay.
Yeah, it's half gothic horror, half satire.
Oh,
It's
okay.
yeah, I think it's one of my favorite books that I read in the past 5 years. It's
Oh, cool.
yeah, it's fantastic.
Oh, I love gothic horror.
Oh God, Sam, do you like Shirley Jackson?
I've only read The Haunting of Hill House, so that's the only thing I've ever read of hers. Yeah, I like movies like The Others, The Woman in Black that they made with Harry Potter a few years back. I thought that was really creepy.
The Others, yeah. I haven't thought about The Others in a while, but yeah, it's just coming back to me. That movie was fantastic. That twist at the
It's
end.
so good. I heard that they were remaking it, and I'm like, why?
No.
I'm like,
Why?
you don't need to do that. So
Have you seen the film I Am a Goat?
let me look. It sounds sort of familiar. No, I don't think I have.
If you like The Others, I think that you would like I Am a Ghost.
Okay. All right. I will put that on my list. A Ghost Waits, which is on Hulu, I think. It is about a guy who dies and then is sent to haunt this house. And it's like a little bit satirical, but you see how the waiting room for ghosts looks when they're trying to like be dealt a house to go haunt for for a part of their afterlife. So it's kind of fun. And then he meets the woman that's living in the house and gets a little bit ridiculous from there. But so an article came out in 2020 that said that horror movie fans were handling lockdown better than non-horror movie fans. Why do you think that was the case?
I think we were prepared. I think just after a lifetime of watching worst case scenarios play out on screen, I think that all of us, at least subconsciously, figured out a game plan for ourselves. So either that, or in my experience, a lot of horror lovers are kind of introverted. At least like the ones that I've met and like that I'm close with, we're all just kind of introverts. And so I feel like quarantine just, didn't it affected us, of course, but not to the disastrous, the disastrous way that it might have affected others.
Yeah, I agree. I think I'm more of an ambivert. I'm like, I have introverted qualities, but I'm also very extroverted. But like when they were like, stay inside, don't hang out with anyone, I was like, I got this. I don't need to hang out with anyone.
Yeah, I think I'm an ambivert also, probably a little bit more introverted, but I'm also just kind of obstinate. And so like when they're saying, oh, you can't go outside after a week, I'm just like, I want to go outside now.
Yeah, anytime my boyfriend is like, please don't do that. That's a little, don't poke me there. I'm like, that's all I'm gonna do now. He's like, I know. So yeah, I get that. Are there any horror movies that you won't watch or that you won't watch ever again?
Yes. The first one that comes to mind is Hereditary. And yeah, I saw that in theaters. And I think that was the first ever horror movie that I almost tapped out of.
Ooh.
Yeah, I was literally gripping my chair to stop myself from running out of the theater like a wimp. Yeah, that movie, it was so well done. And I really did enjoy it. It scared the absolute shit out of me, just in a very deep way. It stayed with me. It just rattled me to my core. And I haven't had it in me to rewatch it ever.
Awesome. Yeah, it's such a good movie. I'll say something kind of crazy. It's sort of like one of my comfort horror movies now. I've watched it, I've rewatched it a bunch of times, and it's just like, oh, it's such a roller coaster once it gets going that
Yeah.
I just enjoy that ride. But I know that for a lot of people it is not something they can do all the time. And I actually went to go see that on what ended up being a final date with a guy. I don't know if it was the movie or me or both that ended things, but yeah, he couldn't deal with it either.
Yeah, it wasn't even the thing that just shook me. It wasn't even the ghosts or the cult or the supernatural. It was Toni Collette's reaction upon seeing Headless Charlie in her car. That's the thing. That's what keeps me away from it. I can't experience that twice. Oh my God.
Yeah, oh, yeah,
Brutal.
it's a brutal scream.
Yeah. Also,
Have
Skin Marie.
Oh, yeah, it was very unsettling. Did you get to see it in theaters?
No, I watched it just in my friend's living room when it came out on
Oh,
Shudder.
nice. Oh,
Yeah,
that's
it was one
cool.
of those movies. Like, it unsettled me when I was watching it, and then the subway ride home was just horrible. Yeah,
Oh, was it late at night?
of course,
Nice. Have you ever had any noteworthy experiences seeing a horror movie in theaters?
sort of. I think that anytime that I see a horror movie in theaters, it's usually the theater is usually filled with other horror fans, and I think that can really just make the experience so much more fun. So I saw Evil Dead Rise when it came out. Well, actually, no, it was an advanced screening, and I went to that with my friend, and it was just a packed theater filled with horror fans and a lot of hardcore Evil Dead fans. And so just the audience reactions to everything just made the entire experience just so much more fun.
Were you at the one on 42nd Street?
Yep. Were you
Yeah,
there?
I was there too. Yeah,
Oh.
that was so much fun. Yeah, I've been to see a couple of non-horror movies lately, and the audiences are so different from when it's horror movies because people won't just go see a horror movie just for shits and giggles, but they will go see something like Oppenheimer or the movie with Jennifer Lawrence that came out recently, which was terrible. And I've also noticed that audiences for movies other than horror, they don't clap for Nicole Kidman. So
Wow.
they're silent. Oppenheimer's audience was silent. The night before it talked to me, we clapped and screamed. So what has been your favorite horror movie that you've seen so far in 2023?
Man. I have a sec to figure that one out. I did really enjoy Evil Dead Rise.
Yeah, it was fun.
It was so much fun. And I've only ever seen the first Evil Dead movie. And I thought that this one was just hilarious. And the gore was just superb. Yeah, I just thought it was so well done.
Yeah, I really enjoyed it. I've seen the original Evil Dead and like half of Evil Dead 2, but I got really bored by it. But I really like Evil Dead 2013. So if you haven't seen that, I would recommend checking that one out. That's a little
People
bit
tell me
more
that.
like this one. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, also, I remember Tribeca Film Fest and I saw the movie Suitable Flesh. Have you seen
Oh,
that yet?
I heard about that. I went to a talk with Karen Coleman and a bunch of female filmmakers, and talk about, I think one of the women who was involved in making it, she was there, but I didn't get to see it. How was it?
Oh my God, it was fantastic. It's, yeah, it takes all the best elements of Lovecraft and just modernizes it and makes it not, horrendously racist and misogynistic.
Oh, wow. I will have to look for where it's streaming when it comes out to go see
Yeah.
it.
I mean, Barbara Crampton can't go wrong.
Yeah. So, what horror movie are you most looking forward to seeing in the rest of 2023?
Talk to me.
Nice. When are you planning on
As soon as I can.
going?
I just need to either check my schedule or clear my schedule and just find a theater close by.
Nice. Are there any horror movies that you love that people generally don't like?
Yeah. It's not that people tend to not like this one. I feel like a lot of people haven't heard of this one. It's called Raw, and it's
Oh,
that
yeah.
French cannibalism movie. And I thought that film was just stunning and just so perfectly executed. And again, it's one of those horror films where it's not quite supernatural. It's all human.
Yeah. It was, it made me like a little bit sick to my stomach when I finally watched it, but like, I think that's the point.
Yeah, absolutely.
One of the points.
Yeah. The French, they don't fuck around when it comes to horror. Like you have, well, you have this other film called Dans Ma Peau, In My Skin. Have you seen that?
Mm-mm.
Yeah, I saw it last summer. MoMA did a horror series.
Yeah, I saw a bunch of movies there.
Yeah, and they screened Dans Ma Peau, and it is just so messed up and just disgusting in a really beautiful way. I highly recommend.
All right. Maybe, if you say it's disgusting, I don't know if I can do it, but I'll keep it on in the back of my mind. If you could remake one horror movie, which one would it be?
The Lost Boys.
How come?
So I, just to say, I absolutely adore the original, like the movie, The Lost Boys. I think it's perfect for what it is, especially in the time in which it was made. And a lot can be said about it, especially given the fact that it was Reagan era 1980s and the AIDS crisis was, you know, just raging. So a lot can be said about that film, and a lot of subtext can be taken out and examined. So if I were to remake that, I would want to take all that subtext and just put it right to the forefront and just, you know what I mean? Just have everything that maybe couldn't be explored on film in the 80s and just put it out.
That's really interesting. Now I actually want to watch The Lost Boys because I've never seen it.
Really?
Vampires are like one of my least favorite subgenres of horror, because I'm like, I can deal with some gore, but like drinking blood is just a bridge too far for me, which sounds insane. But yeah, I've seen vampire movies here and there, but hearing that subtext is in it, now I want to go watch it and look out for it. But I guarantee you, I would not have been able to take that away if you had not just told me about it, because I'm like such a surface level horror viewer sometimes, a lot. So.
I like the subtext, but it's also just kind of, maybe it's just blatant to me because I do look for these things a lot.
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
Most of the subtext is homoeroticism and overtures of that and comments on the nuclear family and the destruction of family, which I don't know, to me, it's very clear to other people. Like other people, I guess, don't see homoeroticism, but you know.
Well, that's super interesting, and I can't wait to check it out now. Yeah, that's one of those movies that I've just never watched, even though I should, and everyone always tells me to. So my last question is, if you had to spend quarantine with one horror villain, who would it be?
Horror villain?
Yeah.
God, I mean, horror villain. I guess, have you seen When Animals Dream?
No, I've never even heard of it.
Yeah, it's a Danish werewolf movie. And I think, I wouldn't necessarily categorize her as a villain, but she is the monster. So I would want to spend quarantine with her. She's just very interesting, and she's very take no shit towards the end.
Nice. I love it. I'll have to go check that out.
Well, gorgeous film. Cinematography is insane.
Well, thank you so much for being here. Do you want to tell everyone where they can find you and your writing online?
Yes. You can find me on Twitter. I'm YoClo13. And yeah, there's a link in my bio to my online portfolio through my Twitter. I'm also on Instagram, also YoClo13. And I'm now on TikTok.
Nice. All right. Well, thank you again. And I will see you around on Twitter soon, or maybe Threads.
See ya.
That's it for this week's episode of Who's There. I hope you enjoyed my conversation with Chloe Gold, and thanks again to Chloe for coming on. I'll leave links to her socials and where you can find all of her work and writing in the show notes. You can follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Who's There PC, and if you have any questions, comments, concerns, horror movie recommendations, or you'd like to be a guest, shoot us an email at whostherepc@gmail.com. Until next time, stay scary and never ask who's there.